And we're back.
Hello!
Hi, Wayne.
How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well.
I know. I've been listening. I couldn't sleep at a time like this.
No, I did have a few hours sleep earlier, but yeah. It's all that relentless, isn't it? It's keeping you awake.
Yeah, no. It's the excitement, mate. I couldn't step away from this for too long.
No, I think it's going really well.
I think so. I think it has gone quite well. Though I do want to say, I know we no, I better not swear, but Paul, you're a git. referred to me as portly. Git. I'm going to get him.
But it was great to have Colin on the last hour. It's always good to talk to Colin, and he's one guy I'm really looking forward to meeting at Star Trek London.
Yeah, no, I am as well. I'm sure we'll get to know him quite well, considering the proximity that we'll end up sharing with Carl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're all going to be there in the Bloggers Lounge together, aren't we? So it's going to be quite cosy, I think.
Yeah, I think, well, saying that, the sofas look quite nice, so yeah, I think I'll just hang out there.
Yeah, they look quite comfy. Yeah, definitely. So, just as a little update, so Paul has dropped off. He's back on at 6, I think he is?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's back on at 6. So he's dropped off for a little while, but the highest donation we had in that hour was from Emma, Paul, and, of course, Pixel, the podcast dog. So they are the proud owners of the Polaroid tablet computer thingy. So well done, guys. So I don't think we've got your address, so just email it in to checkmate1701@gmail.com and we'll make sure you get your prize very shortly.
Yeah, no, so thank you very much. The donation's going really well.
It is, yeah, we're up to, I'm just going to go back and just refresh the page and check the total. We are at £814.47.
Which is not bad going whatsoever.
No, that is really good. So, I don't know about you, but I fancy doing an episode review.
Why not? It's been a little while.
It has been a little while. So, we do have some people here who've joined us for this. You can unmute now, guys. So, joining us, we have Michael Clark. Hello again, Mike.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Wayne.
Hiya.
All going well.
And we have another family member. Just about, yeah. And we have another family member, Sina Alvarado. Hello, Sina.
Hi, how are you doing?
Not bad.
Not too bad. Not too bad overall. A little tired, but not quite as bad as I thought I would be, to be honest.
This must be fairly early for you, Sina.
Right, it's just after 6 o'clock in the morning for me. I was just talking to Michael. I've had about 5 hours of sleep.
Is that through any particular reason?
Oh, we were recording 10 Forward last night. And then trying to get the daughter in bed and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's understandable. That's understandable. So
yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, I appreciate you taking the time to join us so early.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to do another real-time review, and we are going to review The Offspring from Season 3 of The Next Generation. So this is going to be another real-time review. So if everyone, we can give people a little while just for them to grab their DVDs or bring up Netflix or whatever they're going to use to watch along with us.
Yeah, no, that's good, because I didn't realise it was a real-time review. 1 second, let's open the file then.
Oh, I thought it was a real-time review. I'm sure he said on the website it was. I could be wrong.
I thought it was just an episode review.
Either one works
well.
It does say real-time review.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess we'd better do a real-time review. We can't do false advertising, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Well, they're always fun. So, That little interlude gave everyone the chance to grab their DVDs. So, shall I do a little countdown?
Yep.
Yes.
Are you almost ready?
I'm there. 1 second. Offspring. There we go.
Okay.
I'm ready when you are.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. I do love the D. There's just something majestic about the Enterprise D.
Oh, definitely. It's it is such a beautiful ship.
You gotta love Wesley's pajamas.
Yeah.
That,
I've never been a fan of Troy's outfits. I mean, even if they're moderately nice, no, please. Season 6, put her in a uniform. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's the thing. She, it personally portrays more professionalism, having her in a normal uniform.
That's right, yeah. And Wesley always wore, is that a cadet's uniform?
No, I think that's one they just made for him when he became captain.
Oh, okay, yeah, so they got rid of the rainbow jumper.
Yeah. No, that's just the acting ensign.
Oh, this is sorry, this is interesting. It's screwing on the foot of an android there.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way how he just basically shut the door. Not ready for you. Goodbye.
Yeah. They show up early, so he's been working on something in his lab.
Did you know
Wesley? I was just going to say, isn't Wesley's hair ridiculous? I think he's often referred to it as he looked like an action figure with that hair.
Oh, I don't mind that hair.
I think he hated it. Will we?
Yeah. Now this is the part where I expect Ace to be. It's alive! It's alive!
So he's been there, and he was at a cybernetics conference, wasn't it? And he was working on a positronic brain.
Hmm. How awful must it have been to be stuck inside this makeup?
Oh,
even
yeah,
if that, it was for only one day shooting.
Yeah, it was probably a couple of days. Well, yeah, it was probably only one day for this bit, wasn't it? But yeah, that's a hell of a makeup job. That's a good four or 5 hours in makeup, isn't it?
Yeah, but that would just do my head in, not being able to actually open your mouth properly.
Yeah.
Only having this really slight slit where, like, your mouth is.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Data reveals it's his child. He obviously doesn't know anything about the birds and the bees. Robots can't have children.
No. Not in... Not
Are
in,
we going to start that again?
Oh, no, not again.
This is a prime episode for this conversation.
No, I don't think we can have. No. You're not. We're not talking here about the sentience question. No, he can't have children because he can't biologically reproduce himself.
No.
Even if he donated sort of circuits or whatever from himself, he could in some way say that he'd reproduced himself because, you know, part of himself went into the creation of this new life, which is obviously what happens when biological creatures reproduce, but it's not quite the same thing. It's not quite the same thing as having a child.
Mm-hmm.
It's more or less like making a copy.
But you can't make that the only criteria, Wayne. I mean, there are plenty of humans that are infertile who can't have children and reproduce, and they're still sentient.
Oh, just because he can't reproduce doesn't make him unsentient. The fact that he's a machine makes him... he's not a living, breathing creature. He's a robot. He's programming. He believes that he's sentient. And as long as you believe that there's something, then I'm sure it's true.
Yeah, it's that old discussion again, isn't it?
Yes, Michael and I said no.
It's the silence that's been met from the guests.
So we have to notice that this is Jonathan Frakes' first directorial outing this episode.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, because at the beginning, Picard in his log says Commander Riker is away on personal leave, and obviously he was directing.
Yes, he does pop in for a little bit later on, doesn't he? But yeah
I've seen.
Yeah, it's handy for him to sort of jump behind the camera, as it were, and allow him to do give him that extra space, not only to, you know, so he doesn't have to act, he can just focus on being the director.
Yeah, he's the first cast member to direct an episode.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he's the first one.
Do you know, I was... two things. A second ago, something came up that always excites me, and knowing that Whoopi Goldberg is going to be in the episode, I'm always happy when Guinan's there. I've got such a soft spot for Guinan. She's a brilliant actress, Whoopi Goldberg is. Picard looks very... what's the word? Handsome there.
Yeah, definitely. in a what? How did you put it today?
Oh no, I've got a total man crush on Jean-Luc.
I just noticed there, that woman walking behind them's got the older style uniform on.
Did she?
And so's that guy there. Yeah, she's got the older style.
Oh, yeah.
the little stripe across the shoulders.
Yeah, they obviously.
And the officer who just passed by as well.
Yes.
Yeah. In okay. Book. They saved money for season 3 by using old uniforms.
Okay, so do you reckon that they would palm that off as, you know how in Generations they've got like the interim as like they're moving into the new uniform and whatnot? They could probably palm that off, but then that's ridiculous because you just replicate your clothes.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, when the... They wouldn't waste it. They would just use one uniform until it wore out, and then next time they replicated a new one, it would just be the new style.
Yeah.
Yeah, fashions change, so it's like, yeah, trade in a uniform and get the new snazzy model. We haven't talked much about the episode, really, have we? I do like this discussion, though, between the two, when Picard is saying... You know, he's created a child, and Data's saying, well, you know, I've never seen anyone else on the ship discuss their procreation with you.
Right, ask for permission before they do it.
Yeah. And he really does believe that, you know, he has become a parent.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
It's not often you see Picard despair with Data, is it? Or openly show despair.
Yeah, he's very look, facepalm.
Yeah,
there's loads of those pictures on the internet, the little meme pictures of Picard doing the facepalm.
The thing is, though, I think it's just a question of Picard was, oh, so I really don't need this crap. Because he knows that Starfleet's going to be on his case now.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't blame Data for having the feelings, if you can say that he does. I mean, he was declared not the property of Starfleet. He was, maybe, if he wasn't declared sentient, he certainly did have the chance to...
He was given the right to explore that and discover if he was sentient or not. He was given that right.
The only thing that you've got to be careful of is once the machines start replicating themselves, it's only a downward spiral from there.
Wayne,
we've all seen the Terminator.
Wayne, hi. Toasters don't posters.
I missed that scene. Sorry, I'll take my other earphone out from the episode. Toasters.
I said toasters don't make toasters. Hush.
Exactly.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's an interesting little scene there. So they're walking her down to the holodeck, and she's going to choose a more, or it at this point is going to choose a more realistic appearance.
Sex, isn't it?
Yeah, going to choose a sex and an appearance. Which, you know, isn't very realistic because no one gets to choose that. You're just born with what you've got, and that's your lot.
Yeah. Again, that shows a flaw in Data because he couldn't make the decision for himself, isn't it?
Yeah. I like that. He's just been there so long that Deanna's fallen asleep in the holodeck. I think it says, like, gone through hundreds and hundreds of choices and narrowed them down.
Because that's the thing, it goes through different species as well.
Yeah.
That Andorian looks crap.
It is crap. It's green.
It's green. It's not even blue.
It's
and
rubbish.
The hair is ridiculously large.
And the antennae are rubbish. Although that's the only time you see an Andorian in TNG. And the Andorian was rubbish there.
Yes, Klingon male.
Yeah.
This poor guy who had that makeup on.
Just for that 20 seconds.
Yeah. I have chosen.
Because it wasn't the actress. It wasn't the actress who was beneath that. It was somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the Klingon one ended up suddenly being a foot taller.
Well, yeah, that's it. I was just going to say that. Very short for a Klingon. More like a Klingon child. It's a girl.
I do love the fashion sense in the 24th century.
You mean the lack of it?
Yeah. They've not only grown past economic needs.
They've grown past, all
aesthetical
sense.
Needs.
Yeah, all sense of fashion. Yeah, some of the clothes they had on there were awful, weren't they? I mean, that's not too bad what she's wearing. I've seen worse, but... some of the things
you would see
Sisko wearing and, some of the civilian clothes you would see were so awful. It's hardly surprising that most Starfleet officers stay in their uniforms all the time, because at least they look reasonably smart. Yeah.
Guys, episode... Yeah.
I think that's perfectly valid.
I like the fact that Data has to teach her rudimentary things such as how to sit down.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I was about to comment on. I don't know the actress's name who's playing Lao, but I think that she's absolutely fantastic.
She gives a really
portraying.
Good performance.
Hallie Todd, I think.
Hallie Todd.
Because just from her mannerisms, from when she was sitting down then, and it was like the awkwardness of the arms, and then also just the reacting to Data and the water.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Well,
She really does do a fantastic job, yeah.
And taking that ball in the face.
There's the arm.
I tell you what, this is what I did like about TNG. Was some sort of the humour that is just embedded in it.
Yeah, it wasn't over the top, though, was it?
No.
Quite subtle.
I mean, at times there was the odd silly episode, but yeah, they didn't go over the top with it. It was just there in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to swallow now.
But she doesn't need to eat. I guess it's just so she can appear more human.
Yeah, but that's like, it doesn't Data do that at some point?
Well, he does say very occasionally he ingests some form of goop.
Just...
which lubricates his bio functions, but he doesn't actually eat food.
No, doesn't he say that sometimes he does it just to make whoever he's with feel more comfortable?
I suppose to share in the experience, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
also why
he must have a little stomach then to hold the food.
Yeah.
But that's also why he taught himself and Lal how to blink. If you think about it, if you're human or, humanoid and you don't blink, that's very unnerving.
It is. It's very disconcerting if you've just been stared at like that.
Yeah. But
he developed a program which gave them the appearance of randomness.
Because that's all it is, basic algorithms.
Yeah, without it being truly random.
I really do So we all just got engrossed with the episode there.
Yeah. You're right, though. I love the way she just walks around the lab there. It's so convincing. It really, really is.
Yeah. Really, it's not as if...
Sorry, go on. No, I was just going to say, have you seen Hallie Todd in any other episodes?
She looks familiar, doesn't she?
She does. I'm just going to have a look and see if we have seen her before.
It's just her whole posture is just entirely wrong. I love the simple questions that she asks as well.
Yeah, why?
Mm-hmm. So he switches her off.
I wish you could do that with the kids sometimes. They're always, why?
Yeah, no, that's enough of that now.
Apparently, one of her best-known roles was as Lizzie McGuire's mother.
Yeah.
On the Disney show, Lizzie McGuire.
Okay, don't know that show.
No, I know that show.
Here we go, the interfering admiral.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to IMDb, that was her only episode.
Well, she looks familiar, so maybe I have seen that show. Maybe I have seen that.
And she's been on a lot of, one-shot guest on a lot of other shows.
Is this Admiral Haftel, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Random evil admiral.
I wouldn't say he's evil, just logical.
No, they're always portrayed as a little... Well, maybe not evil, but they're always a little stern and harsh, aren't they? I guess it comes with the territory.
You know, that's the thing. If you've got captains thinking that they can do everything that they want willy-nilly...
You need to keep them under control.
And the thing is, they probably get so much crap off of random captains because they feel that they don't have to answer to them, that they have to get broad shoulders.
Yeah, possibly.
What is this scene here? I don't remember it.
He takes her, lets her go to school, doesn't he? But she doesn't fit
yes.
in.
Yeah, all the other kids are afraid of her, aren't they?
Mm.
So, what... Out of curiosity, how is this episode seen within the fan community?
One of the favourites, isn't it, I believe?
I really like this one. It's a really nice data episode. It's a really emotional episode. I'm not generally sure what people's opinions are on it. Maybe if people in the chat room can tell us what they think of this episode, it'd be interesting.
Yeah, because I've never actually heard many people actually discuss this episode, so it's like a bit of a blank slate for me, so which is refreshing.
This follows up yesterday's Enterprise, doesn't it? Immediately after it. So it's a very different episode, but very good. So you watch those two back-to-back, they are very, very different episodes, but both, you know, excellent, in my opinion.
Mm. MRS just then wrote on the blog, better than B4, Lau is better than B4.
Oh, yes.
That's not that hard.
I like the way they're in the turbo lift there, and she's just staring at the floors going by, just fascinated by everything, just very much like a child.
Mm-hmm.
I like the bit as well, which you know, the children were laughing at her, and she says, so, I've somehow...
You're laughing with me.
Yeah, I've somehow mastered humour without understanding it. And Data's like, yeah, right. A little bit naive.
Yeah, but that's the thing. After the fiasco of him learning humour from that bloody holodeck programme in season 2.
Oh, that's in the Outrageous Okona, isn't it?
The Outrageous Okona, that's right.
Yeah, that's the guy who's a bit like Jerry Lewis, I think, isn't he?
Yeah. Data knows exactly how not to do humour.
Need to have you on that episode, Mark, for Bad Trek.
I'm washing my hair that night.
Since you despise it so much.
No, I'll be washing my hair. Although when I get my season 2 Blu-ray, I will watch it. I'm not going to skip anything when I do go through those. Even though there are some bad episodes in there, like Justice in season 1, which is awful, and the outrageous Okona in season 2. But I will go through and watch all of them. So maybe
how can Justice be bad? They run everywhere.
It's an awful episode.
Well, let's face it. Most people wanted to kill Wesley.
Well, that's potentially one of its saving graces, I guess.
I think Crusher looks particularly nice here.
Yeah,
I'm sure Mark would agree. Mark's got a bit of a soft spot for Bedlam.
I was always had a big teenage crush on Crusher. I'm always a fan. You know, as I commented earlier when we did the first Contact real-time review, she looked amazing. She didn't have a lot to do in that movie, but she did look amazing with the blonde bits going on in her hair.
Mm. She looked much better in season 3 than season 1.
Yes. Yeah, it's a shame she's not coming to Star Trek London.
Would you have a photo with her?
Yeah, well, definitely, yeah.
And me too.
Well, she might be. I mean, she might be announced. You never know. We need more tea.
Sorry, who might not... sorry, I missed that. I was listening to the episode. Who might be announced?
Gates McFadden.
You can hope.
You can hope, because there isn't a lot of TNG people there, so...
And I'm, there so, isn't,
I,
yeah.
You know, I don't know anything, but I'm suspecting Star Trek London's got quite a few more guests up their sleeves that they're probably going to reveal in the next couple of weeks.
Well, that's the thing. After speaking to Jill this week, she did say that there'll be a good few announcements coming up in the next week or two. So
yeah, I think everyone could guess that. It's hardly a surprise, is it?
Yeah. But I tell you, one person who did hint at it ages ago, who I'm sure still would be that they haven't announced, is going to be Michael Dorn.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's someone that I'd love to meet.
Hey guys, speaking of the episode, Admiral Grumpy just contacted Picard and said there was, you know, problems.
Yeah.
And here's Guinan.
And here you go, here's Guinan.
I know, I always just get so excited to see Whoopi.
What's even better is, I mean, she played the part really well, but she is a Trekkie.
Yeah.
Really, really wanted to come on the show.
Yeah, you can tell that she enjoyed doing what she was doing.
Yeah.
Because you know that she would have been getting paid far more most of the time, like if she was doing more...
Yeah, doing movies or
movies
whatever.
Movies and everything, yeah.
I think she did this on the cheap. Look, I'm not too worried about how much you pay me, I just want to be on it.
Yeah, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, I do too.
And let's see. Oh, teaching her the art of listening. Coming from the race of listeners.
I like that. My father said I could learn a lot from someone as old as you. You're hired. Just like a child hasn't been taught tact yet.
So...
I've been programmed. I never did get that with Data, the fact that he couldn't use verbal contractions. I've instead of I have. I just don't get
honestly,
that.
Honestly, it's like... The autocorrect on my PC can manage it. I'm pretty sure Data would have been able to.
Yeah. I guess it was just a way for them to get him to speak in a more regimented and Android-type manner, I guess. But I think that was silly. He could easily have said, I've, can't, don't, isn't, etc.
I just think it was a very weak plot point that they came up with initially and then just had to roll with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now Picard's telling Data that he's having to relocate the new android.
I did like that little touch that as he's leaving Ten Forward, he looks back at Guinan, almost unsure of whether he should leave Lau there. And Guinan, you know, says, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay,
yeah. He is just like the worried parent. you know, leaving their child at play school or something for the first time. Which was a nice touch, I think. Yeah. I just love Brent Spiner, though. Just the expressions he has on his face. He played Data so well. Mm-hmm. I think he was great in every other... You know, when he played Law, he was really good. I'm sure that was really good fun for him to play... you know, an evil version of himself. I think that must always be fun for an actor. They always say they enjoy playing villains. And I really liked it when he played Noonien Yun Sung as well, the really old version.
Yeah, as well as the predecessor. I love Eric, this next
Eric
line.
Sung.
Yeah. I love this
Here we
line.
Go.
Yeah.
Laozin, ten forward with Guinan.
Yeah, and
there's the couple there.
He's biting
that female. Which is, of course, in your 10 forward bumper scene.
Yes.
Why are they leaving?
Yeah, there's some things I think your father will have to tell you.
Surely basic things like procreation would be programmed into just the knowledge banks.
Programmed into her knowledge.
Oh, this is funny.
What are your intentions with my daughter?
I just love the way, as well, when she picks him up, just got that amazing strength. And I mean, Jonathan Frakes is a big guy.
He held his weight
what?
Well.
Your daughter?
Nice to meet you.
And I do like the touch of the two crewmen or officers at the end of the bar, just kind of snickering.
Yeah, definitely.
And we spoke about costumes, though. I think Guinan always wore nice costumes.
Yeah.
Very big on, you know, they always spent a lot of their budget on her hats. She always had a different hat, didn't she?
Yes.
That's where her pay packet went, on the costumes.
She's like,
sure he borrowed some as well.
I didn't quite understand why such big hats, but okay.
Cover up her hair.
If it isn't, like, big hats a girl thing, though. That and handbags.
Well, Whoopi Goldberg had... Does she still have very, very long hair? Well, she certainly did at that point. Very long dread hair. So I guess they just wanted to... They didn't want to show that, so they just had to hide it underneath some big hats.
This is very nice. Well, I'll just reached over and put her hand on top of Data's.
And then Data puts her hand in his rather instead. So, your evil Admiral is here.
Oh, I called him Admiral Grumpy.
Admiral Grumpy.
Yeah.
That probably describes a lot of them, doesn't it?
But let's face it, by the time that they get to Admiralty, they've got to that... grumpy old men stage in life.
Yeah, I guess so.
He looks like a grumpy version of Quinn on Death Wish.
Yeah. I thought that. I thought he does remind me a little bit of Quinn. It's obviously not the same actor, but no, you're absolutely right there.
Yeah, no, good point. I never saw that until you suggested that.
So have we seen this Admiral's uniform before? Conspiracy, maybe?
I was about to say, I think I saw something very similar in Conspiracy with the old boy who had the dodgy comb over.
Yes, that was Admiral Quinn. Again, we're going back to Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
the Admiral's
coincidence.
Yeah, the Admiral's uniforms did seem to change quite regularly, didn't they?
And I think they maybe had a little bit of...
A little bit of creative freedom to design their uniform.
Yeah. Which, unfortunately, considering fashion sense had been bred out of the human race by this point, isn't necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, that's why we got some of the clunker uniforms that we did. Mm-hmm. It's one of the few times, actually, we see Data's lab. We see this again in The Best of Both Worlds, and we see it again where in Iborg.
Yeah, with Hugh.
Yes. This Admiral, he seems to know a lot about cybernetics. I'm guessing he's got a scientific background. Because obviously he does assist Data later on.
Yeah.
You would have thought that they would have probably assigned the best Admiral for the job.
Yeah, the person most qualified.
Just send in any old pap.
Yeah.
It's a shame they didn't have Commander Maddox in this episode as a good follow-up to A Measure of a Man in some capacity, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Yes, that would have been nice. That would have been a nice touch.
Maybe as the Admiral's assistant or...
Sorry, we're all getting engrossed.
Yeah, no, this is brilliant listening. We're all just sitting here watching Star Trek.
We should have reviewed Star Trek V. We would be talking the whole time.
Well, you've got to enjoy yourself somehow, haven't you? I better not get started on Star Trek V.
Why are we going to bring up Star Trek V?
Yeah, what have you done? You're a bad man, Mike. You've taken me to a dark place.
Oh, sorry.
We have a perfectly wonderful episode we're not talking about right now.
No, Admiral Grumpy's not happy that Lao's serving drinks.
Yeah, she's capable of running 60 trillion operations per second. You've got her serving drinks.
That's the thing. I don't think he really cares about her learning social interaction.
No.
Mm.
But would you really want somebody who is untried as her? I mean, yes, she can run 63 trillion operations per second, but she doesn't really know anything or how to use that.
Yeah, she's basically, at this point, she's just a computer. They've already got computers. You know, the Enterprise computer must be equivalent in terms of processing power as Data, but of course, Data is more. He is more than just a computer, which is just basically an adding machine. You know, the real benefit is having that person as that android as someone who can reason. Otherwise, it's just a computer, and they've got loads of them. What would be the point?
Yeah,
I really like the way he has the discussion with her, and you know, she's being very blunt with him. You know, the logical thing is that, you know, once I have learned everything I have here, then I move to the starbase. And he says, well, that's not the conclusion here. I believe it is.
Mm-hmm. And he calls her on... she calls him on not speaking to her respectfully either.
Yeah. I'm merely stating a factor.
Again, just a really terrific job on the part of Haley Todd.
Yeah. That's the thing, regardless of what I may think regarding androids or whatnot, this actress is absolutely sublime at portraying Lao. Yeah, you can't fault her whatsoever.
No, she was really good in this. I would like to have seen her in some other Trek. I'm sure I'd seen her before, but I think she would have been. It would have been interesting to see her do something else as well. Just pop up as an alien or something like that.
And also just her facial expressions as she's...
She's left there and she's got... Yeah.
Yeah, as she's dealing with the emotions that she's feeling.
Obviously she's frightened that you're going to be taken away.
I'm sorry, people can't see quotation marks.
She does experience emotions. Deanna can sense the fear in her.
How? Can Deanna also read computers?
She can read emotions.
Yeah, but no.
You are right. I mean, she couldn't always read other species, but
ignoring whether that she is sentient or not, I don't believe that Deanna would have ever been able to sense any sort of emotions from her, just because of the way that Lalo's built. She's not a biological.
No,
it wouldn't create a chemical reaction that Deanna would be able to read.
No, it would be more of an electronic reaction that she wouldn't be able to read. You are right. There is a bit of a flaw there. Done for plot, of course. Done for sake of plot.
Yeah.
But you just have to go with the episode because that was a particularly nice scene with Malcolm and Deanna.
Yeah, and she's starting to break down. You know, I feel it here. And she does... She delivers that really well, where she's sort of pointing at her chest.
Not just pointing, she really thumps her chest as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always loved the back wall of the observation
little ships.
Lounge.
Yeah, the little ships.
Mm-hmm. Not so little, then. I think they change it season 4.
Do they?
Yeah, they lose the ships until Nemesis. Or First Contact, I think.
First Contact, yeah, where he breaks them up, yeah.
Yeah, but that's a different ship.
But on the Enterprise-D, they lose. And then if you look from Season 4, it's smooth along there.
Is it? I've never noticed that.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, because in All Good Things, Picard's walking. When he's in the early time frame, he's reminiscing of the fact that the ships are there.
I'll have to have I'm on my rewatch, so I'll get there at some point soon, so I'll keep an eye out for that. See, it's all these little things that you don't pick up until someone says.
Yeah.
Now Data's pleading for Picard and the Admiral to understand that he's not willing to give up Lal.
For someone with no emotions, he's certainly doing a good job of portraying how he feels.
He has certainly observed a lot of humanity. I agree, Michael.
This must be engrossing listening. Sorry, I'm just getting into the
episode. Well, hopefully a few people are also watching it as well, and then they can be engrossed without having to listen to us babble on about it.
Okay. Yeah, sit down, Mr. Data. Not on my ship. I do like the way that Picard stands up from there.
Yeah, the thing is, though, what makes me wonder is Data's programming. Surely he would, at no matter the cost, just obey orders from people in the highest position.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of whether Picard tells him not to hand over Lal. Like, just because the Admiral is actually in a much higher position, I would have thought that he would have just obeyed orders.
Gives a bit more drama and tension to the episode, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You really can see sometimes how in certain episodes, Whoopi was available, Guinan would take a lot of Deanna's lines. Because if Whoopi wasn't in this episode, Deanna would have had a much more prominent role rather than just having to be the she felt emotions.
Yeah, that was a sort of token something for her to do in this episode, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you really feel that if Whoopi wasn't there, she would have had far more to do. I always love watching them when they open up Data or Lal there.
Yeah.
They do it really well.
Open up the head.
Mm-hmm.
Little flashing lights inside.
Here with back to Geordi and Wesley with Troy just kind of waiting in the hallway.
Yeah, they look like. I love this bit where the Admiral comes out. You know, you can even see the emotion on his face. And his hands were moving faster than my eyes could see. He was repairing one pathway after another, but he just wasn't quick enough.
So here he actually seems a little bit more relatable than just Admiral Grumpy.
I don't believe that, though. I don't believe that he would have had that much of a turnaround to the point that he was nearly in tears over it. I'm not sure if that's just me.
Perhaps the tears was a bit too much.
Yeah.
Shall I make up a complete backstory for this Admiral where you know, Lal dying reminds him of when he had to go through the same thing with one of his grandchildren?
I suppose. Yeah, no, you
could be. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a nice way of filling in blanks. It's just...
Yeah, you don't know anything about his history at all, do you? So.
Yeah. No, okay, yeah, no, I'll take that. Though it is... you wouldn't expect that from how the Admiral was portrayed in the episode earlier. Hmm.
I do love this bit, though, where she says, I love you. And he goes to say it and says, you know, I wish I could feel it with you. And she says, no, I'll feel it for both of us. But he does go to almost say it, but you're left with that in your mind. Was he going to say it because he thought it was the thing to say, or was it because he did genuinely feel it but couldn't articulate it, or what? I think that's what's nice about this episode. You can decide from that small moment, you know, what actually happened. I'd like to think that he did feel the love, but didn't realise that's what it was. I know you probably won't agree, Wayne.
Everyone's allowed to get their own points, then, no matter how flawed.
We haven't discussed Q yet.
No, we haven't.
We haven't had the Q discussion. We probably will before the day is out, I'm sure.
I look forward to it. We'll find it.
I'm going to have to wade in and separate you boys.
Yeah, definitely.
If you start that.
That's quite a nice end to that episode, though, where you know they said they're all saddened by his loss, and he said, "Well, you know, her memories are now in my head, so everything that she experienced is now a part of him." So does that mean he's now got knowledge of some emotions? Then I guess it does.
He has some knowledge of programs that believed that they felt emotions. Hmm. Oh dear. So
quit.
Do we break the episode?
see, you can try and boss about Adam and Paul as much as you want. See, this is just like, it's too early for this shit. Oh dear. But still, no, really good episode. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed that one. Should we give it a quick score?
Yes. I don't see why not. Did you want to kick us off, Cena?
It's been a while since I've seen this episode, but once I saw it, I did see humor and where they intended to have humor, and it's very poignant. When lies, even if there were some a little bit, you know, nitpicks here and there, I would probably rate it on our scale probably an 8. Mm-hmm. Because I can overlook all these issues that you have, Wayne, about androids and sentience or lack of thereof.
I just liked one. Okay.
You do.
Yeah.
What about you, Michael? What would you score this?
Yeah, I like the episode. I think there are some bits you worry, like the Commander Riker scene in 10 Forward. Was that necessary? And that's just there for the joke and taking aside the serious issues. But I'd give it a 7.5. It's a good episode.
Okay. I'd probably give this an 8, I think. It's a nice emotional episode. And as I said, followed up yesterday's Enterprise, so it's a nice contrast to that episode. A couple of little things you can pick holes in, such as, you know, Deanna being able to read the emotions. So I think an 8.
Okay. The thing is, with most things, you could easily pick holes. And nitpicking is just something that we love to do as fans. And I do enjoy this episode. I think it's very well done. I think the actress who plays Lal is superb. Brent Spiner's acting is fantastic. I think the story as a whole is a very valid story with regards to Data's character. Personally, for me, I would say this is a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I really, yeah, that's the thing. As much as I may wind you up, because I'm never going to believe that Data is sentient, but I can go for that ride, and I really enjoy it.
Excellent.
Yeah, so there you go.
Let's just give that an average. That gives that an average of just over 8. Just over 8. 8.125.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a good score.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Very good score. Though I still feel that Admiral should have been a bit more stiff upper lips at the end.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, still.
No, that's my backstory, so.
Yeah, no, and I take that. I think that works. I think that really does work, so. No, I enjoyed that. And does that mean... 1 second, I'm just looking at the schedule now. Does that mean, Mark, that you're going to be dropping out now for a little while?
Yeah, I'm going to be dropping out till 4, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, then. Well, in that case, we'll bid you farewell for now, Mark.
Yes, I will put a little bit of music on, I think.
Yes.
And then we're into hour 19, I think this is now, isn't it? Yeah. Or is it hour 18?
So that'll be 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18.
We've just done hour 17. It's hour 18, I think. I played the hour 17 clip last time.
19, 18. I personally make it 17.
Oh, I've already played the hour 17 clip.
Yeah. Oh, we can skip that then.
We can skip that. But let's put a little bit of music on. Yeah, let's play some music.
I see the planet and its flowers and all of the medicinal powers. Tuvok and I trade barbs again. So beaming up we have some times, one together, body and minds. All of a sudden I'm in you. Just the two of us, we can make this spaceship fly. Just the two of us,
just the two of us,
just the two of us, merge together as one guy. Just the two of us, you and I. So we have to pick a name, but it isn't a fun game, 'cause Neelix and Tuvok just don't jive. So we try some just for kicks. We come up with the name Tuvix. Together our minds are sharp so far. Just the two of us, we can make this spaceship fly. Just the two of us,
just the two of us,
just the two of us, with the sparkle in our eye. Just the two of us, you and I. Yes, she starts to fall in love. However, she can't let go of the fact that Tuvok has a wife. And in the mess hall by and large, Tuvix rescues and takes charge, making better food than Neelix ever did. Janeway uses the hypo spray. The isotopes come into play. Neelix and Tuvok are their own guys. Just the two of us, we can make this spaceship fly. Just the two of us,
just the two of us,
just the two of us. We used to be a flower and two guys. Just the two of us, you and I. Just the two of us, we can make this spaceship fly. Just the two of us,
just the two of us,
just the two of us, we can make this spaceship fly. Just the two of us, you and I.